Okay, finally. Luke 3, verse 16. John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. But baptizes, baptizos, we've talked about many times. But this phrase, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose, is really interesting, because the latchet is himas, and it means the leather thong that's on sandals, to keep them on. And shoes just mean the sole of the sandal. And the unloosing of the shoes was done in the houses of power by the lowest servant. And it was an act of ultimate humility. And so here we have John, who was the first prophet in 400 years, the man to whom all Israel was wandering after, who was the Elijah, if you will. And he said that of him, of Christ, that he was not even worthy to unloose the thongs. But then Jesus came along. What Jesus did then is he washed the feet of the disciples. Now that's an even lowlier task than unloosening the sandals. And so it gives you a hint of the incredible humility of John the Baptist and of Christ. And it said of him, his humility is what made him great. And that humility doesn't mean what we think of as humility. It's this idea of the total emptying, of the loss of self-identity. And it's important to understand, that's why we go over it so often, that your life as a believer is one of a bond slave. You have no... you have no sense of entitlement. You have no rights to expect certain responses from anybody, or we all. And it's a humility that is rarely seen in this generation. And I just want you to ponder that. And it's in terms of how you conduct your life. Are you a bondservant to those you meet? Anyhow, anybody have any response to that? You're chewing, inside and outside.
That's a blessed position. It has every imagery of being the lowest position, but when you're there with understanding,
right, but that's what, that's what these guys that believe they're entitled to the jets and $1 million salaries. And it's the opposite of that humility.
Yeah.
And again, their words aren't tested by their life because they live privately. So it's a totally different mindset, and that's what I want us to live and understand and be. All right. Whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Let's look at a couple of those from the Old Testament. Let's go to Isaiah 4. By the way, I ended up catching Ronnie's cold. He's a petri dish. Oh, also, by the way, we have in morning Bible study to make the thing interesting so that it's not just a monologue. In the Wednesday night Bible study, Bananas 2.0, we have Sharon, who is even better than Gary at asking questions and demanding answers.
Well, she got pretty demanding last night.
I know, it was great. I loved it.
Yeah.
That was just a little
aside.
She outshines Burnett.
Oh, Burnett's a meek compared to her. I think Mr. Bojo sometimes gets irritated with her. But,
why would you say that?
Because I saw the expression on your face a couple of times.
Irritated with you.
Oh, okay.
Nice,
yeah. One for John.
Nice try.
One for John, zero for Ollie. Again. All right, Isaiah 4, before I was so rudely interrupted by myself. This is, in verse 2. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem. The Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and its smoke by day, and the shining of a flaming fire by night. Wow. For upon all the glory shall be a defense. And there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and a place of refuge, and for a covert from the storm and from rain. Now this is obviously talking about the New Jerusalem. But he shall purge the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. And that's what the baptism of fire is. It's the baptism of fire is going through the fiery swords that are protecting the mystery, the cherubim.
It's like there's a hand in hand here. There's the baptism in water where you affirm, you believe, and accept your death. But the baptism of fire takes care of all the crap that actually tries to come up after that and deny the water baptism. You don't get through the fire with anything.
Yeah. You don't get through the fire with anything except that which came from eternity.
Yeah.
All right, go to Malachi. Last book in the New Testament, the Old Testament. Chapter 4. Now, remember it said the start of this was in that day. That day. That day. That day, as we've said so many times, began at the cross when the sun was darkened. And all of the angels and the hosts of heaven are waiting for us to see and to live in the dawning of the day so that there's the light is the only thing you see. And here again we have it. In Malachi, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, And all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts. And it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go forth and grow as the calves of the stall. And you shall tread down the wicked one. For they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord. Excuse me. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, when I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and the judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Amen? Okay, Matthew 13. Verse 24. But in those days after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light.
Where are you?
Matthew 13, verse 24.
You sure?
No, I'm not either. I was in Mark. I'm sorry. Well, that was a good one, too. It was one of the M guys. Well, it's just the one verse. This is the parable of the wheat and the tares, but let's just look at verse 30. And verse 29, excuse me, he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Same judgment. No, one more, 1 Corinthians 13. Oh, I know why I said that, but I put that there. Verse 11. Let's start verse 9. For we now know in part and prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man or an adult, I put away childish things. And put away there means divorce or have nothing to do with. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. And now abideth faith and hope and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity or agape. Agape is the only thing that can pass through the fire. Amen? All right. Let's go back to Luke. Anybody have any comments on that? You understand why love, agape, is the only thing that can pass through the fire?
Yeah, I'm thinking how these are the words, these are the concepts, these are the ideas, these are the eternal stuff, and yet it's all worked out in our lives. On earth, while we're alive, these things are proven in us.
Amen.
And that's all. I mean, why else do we live?
Amen. That's the only reason. The only reason for time and space is antagonism.
So that
which is perfect will be revealed and tested.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, you better not be waiting around. All right. The next verse, 17. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff will he burn with fire unquenchable. This whole section is another one of these interesting things. The word fan is a word that I can't pronounce. Ptyon, P-T-Y-O-N, or Ptuon. And it means a winnowing shovel. And what happens is, once the grain has been, you beat the crap out of it and rolled over it with heavy stones and all that, then the shovel, they picked up the wheat and threw it into the wind. So the chaff would be the wind. Now that's the threshing floor. And that threshing floor it's always has to be in a high place, in a high hill, where there's no walls. The original synagogues had no walls. They had to be on a hill where the wind could blow freely. And that's really, the threshing floor is really Jerusalem, the New Jerusalem, which is the highest. And the only way that you can get in there is to get the crap beat out of you, and then somebody picks you up in a shovel and throws you into the wind. And so all of the stuff, it's the same as the making of the bread kind of thing, but this is the preliminary to the making of the bread. This is to get the chaff gone so the bread can be made in that parable. Same with the grapes. The grapes have to be, each kernel of wheat has to lose its identity, give it up in this parable to the bread, just as each grape, which is another parable, and you are the grape, or you are the seed of the kernel of wheat, it has to be crushed and brought together in one, and then the fermentation process has to start, and then you have to go through the seven lees and eat the first one. The word that's translated a wheat prophecy is the action of the fermentation. So the wine is fermenting in the first vat, and there's all kinds of crap still left in it, and it goes up to the top. And then a board is taken and it's skimmed off. And then it's very carefully poured. This is done a few times in that vat. And then it's carefully poured. And this is the only wine that can be used in the temple, by the way. And then it's carefully poured into the next vat. But it's poured very carefully so none of the dregs that went to the bottom can go into that vat. And then the fermentation process continues. And that process is continued seven times. And that's the parable. That's why if you believe that suffering is strange, you believe another gospel.
Yeah.
Amen.
Over and over.
Amen. All right. So, the fan, and there's a bunch of places we could look for that, but it's said different words. It's sometimes called a winnowing tool or a fan. All right, shall thoroughly purge. Remember, we studied that the word purge normally is catharsis or catharsis. And this is dia catharsios or catharsis. No, it's diet catharizo. Dia catharizo. And it means like super cleansing. It means like we take you know, like when you have to have a, this is a disgusting, forgive me. I never ever say any disgusting things, so this is an exception. No, when you have a colonoscopy, you have to take that go lightly stuff to purge your colon so that they can look at it without running into a bunch of crap. And that's just the catharsis. But the diet, it's the total cleansing. So you're an empty vessel. You can never fill it with yourself. You have no responsibility to ever fill it with anything. Certainly not you. And by your abandonment, disowning of self, repentance, all the other words, then he This is the one that fills the temple. But you've got to see, you are the one that's sitting in the temple, and you're always judging. Does this benefit me? Is this right? Do I want to do good? All these things. But that has to be thoroughly purged so the vessel is empty in that context. So that's just another part of the parable. We got grapes, we got wheat, and now we got this catharsis stuff. Shall thoroughly purge his floor. Let's look at a couple of catharsis. Let's go to John 15.
In this context, in this parable, it's like the mind is a blender, and all it does is keep crap stirred up.
The mind isn't a blender. No. The mind has no purpose. Well, for me, I know, but that's the issue we always deal with. You think there's a battle.
I'm thinking in terms of, like, if you're a bottle of wine and you're being still and all the crap is getting settled.
No, a vat of wine. Bottle of wine already has it out.
All right, you're a vat of wine, and the crap's going down the bottom, and then your mind interferes with the process and stirs it all up, and you never get to the point of clarity. You can record to the next vat in that context.
But hear me. By the time you get to the vat, you've been crushed together. So you're one new thing as a body. So you've already, the process doesn't even start if you still think you're an individual wine, you're an individual grape. The process doesn't even start if you think you're an individual kernel of wheat. The vat, that process of the is the natural process of coming against each other, and to because of the common the different idolatries, and the different emotional responses, and the different all those things that we've studied. So the context is, if you're still an individual kernel of wheat, with struggling with that identity, then the only answer is you fall into the ground and die. If you're still a grape trying to decide whether you want to be a grape or not, then the process hasn't started in the vat.
Yeah.
Okay? So the mind is, the predicate of this is that the mind has gone with the kernel, as the parable of the kernel of wheat, once it goes into becoming bread. And all of then the things that happen as a body, as we, not me. And same is true of the wine. The grape, as long as it's struggling with identity and battles, is still the individual grape.
Still got its skin on.
Still got the skin. And it's getting leprous.
It's
going to
be rot pretty soon. It won't be any good for the moment.
Right. And so the whole thing, that's why the battle is over by his action. All we have to do is reckon that the battle is over. And that's let nothing confuse. As the serpent beguiled Eve with his subtlety, so we have serpent there as the serpent, let nothing confuse your mind from the simplicity that is in Christ. So it's a serpent, mind, and that, whatever you call that, simile. Whatever it is. All right. Let's go. So John 15. Did we go there yet? No, we didn't. I was rudely interrupted.
What is it?
Huh? 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Now we're back to where it's grapes now. And remember, every time the word wheat is used, it's talking about the Feast of Pentecost. Every time barley is used, it's talking about the Feast of Passover. So this is, we went from wheat here, and now we're going to see the parable again applied, this teaching again applied to the parable now of grapes. Okay? Same thing though, same process. I am the true vine, My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So the purging of the vine is before you even get to the grape. And that's what's been going on your whole life. Just think of the things that you have put aside. Because, you know, I used to love a lot of stuff. I used to love to play poker. And it doesn't even enter my mind anymore. I used to love to play pool. I haven't played pool in, well, I guess I played that game with, who'd we go? We at Mike's.
Oh, yeah.
But he beat me. So,
so,
you know.
So that was
I used to play trumpet, but I don't even enter my mind anymore. I used to do a lot of things. I used to build tree houses. And then you take that according to every possible thing that your mind can conceive of, and then you come and say, because all those things that you've stopped doing and having interest in, that's the vine has been purged, the branch has been purged each time in this parable. Okay? All right, let's go to Hebrews 1. This one's important. Well, all of these are important. God, who at sundry times in a diverse manner spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. And one translation of this says that in many separate ways and many separate revelations, a portion of the truth has been revealed to many men. But hath in these last days spoken us to us by his Son. So, all this, I used to be involved in all kinds of crap, the yoga thing, and not just hatha yoga, but the other kinds. New age stuff, Bob Collier and all these weird things like the Aquarian Gospel. And they all sounded good for a while, and they had a portion of the truth. Many separate ways and many separate revelations, a portion of the truth has been revealed. But now, the fullness of the truth is revealed in the Son. That's it. Game over. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, by whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sin and sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. That should be a singular sin, because sin is who you are. And that's what repentance does. Repentance has destroyed you, the illusion of you. Okay? We're not going to get any. This floor and the gathering are really neat things that we'll get through the next day. What day is it today?
Today is Thursday.
All right. Any thoughts on all this?
I'm just thinking about the illusion of you, how you spend your whole life creating and developing the illusion, and then you're confronted with this: deny yourself, die to yourself. That illusion's like one of these movie monsters. It's got its tentacles wrapped all through you, and it's like the self life does not want to give the illusion up. It's all it's got.
Until it's come and seen the vanity of it.
And then you sit, but yeah, if you don't see it, you can't let it go because you don't have it.
Right.
But the seeing is everything.
But that's why it's important. You know, what you said about the mind is stirring things up. That's that's not even, you're not even in the game yet, if that's the case.
I see what you meant by the bride. Once you're in the bed, you're in the bride.
Yeah.
Once, you know, the activity has ceased and the traps fall into the ground.
Right.
Yeah, before you get to the bed, you're...
Yeah. But by his, everything that was necessary, he, by one offering, has purged us from sin, has purged us from self. The battle is over. Amen? All right, we'll study the floor and the gathering and all that when we meet. Take it, big guy.